What kind of idiots would stay home when the weather is okay, but on a snowy night. Cold night decide, oh, let's go out into downtown Chicago and, well, you're listening to those idiots right now.
I got my hand raised, yes. And thank you very much for putting that little ditty in our head, because now Jingle Bells would be, but it seemed like the appropriate song, because we came dashing through the snow into the station tonight, and it was actually quite nice.
It was very pretty, yeah. In fact, if you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, you'll see we've been posting pictures as we've been here in the studio, and as we were, some pictures of what we saw as we were driving. It was one of those, might say, the streets are kind of patent leathery.
Yeah. And you definitely need your windshield wipers, and you probably need some goop as the morning goes on, because it's just getting all slushy. And
but at least if you're in the city area proper, it's not nearly as bad, certainly as I thought it was going to be, because there had been predictions of 3 to 6 inches, and it looks like, well, maybe we got a couple inches in the immediate downtown area, but nothing horrible. But I guess if you're closer to the Wisconsin state line, there's a whole lot more stuff going on up there.
And it's always a different world in Northwest Indiana. So if you're listening to us and there's something we need to know from your part of the world.
We are live.
Yes, we are. And we're at 312-981-7200. You can call us. You can text us. We look forward to, you know, just being here with you till 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a short show. Next week, we will be back here for the full schmagiggy. It'll start at 9 o'clock.
Whether you want it or not, you're getting a full schmagiggy next week.
And that's with a capital S.
Does that word come with a definition?
No. Well, be here next week and you'll find out exactly what a schmagiggy is.
Well, Gabe, I'll tell you, it's the opposite of a half schmagiggy.
It's a full schmagiggy.
Well, I can tell you right now, along the Wisconsin state line, they're getting a full schmagiggy of snow up there. Uh-huh. Most of the snow that we've been tracking on the radar has moved off to the north and the northeast. We do have a little bit of freezing rain in parts of northwest Indiana, and we do have some scattered snow showers in some of the northwest and southeast suburbs of the Chicagoland area. Mm-hmm. So, for the most part, not too bad, unless, again, you're where all that heavy snow is near Wisconsin, but there could be some slick spots on the roads. Do drive carefully out there. There are some snow plows putting out some salt down on the area roadways to kind of keep that from happening. But if you're along the state line just and you see a snow plow, just, you know, clear out of the way and let them do their jobs out there. Drive safe out there. Reduce your speed. But again, we'll continue to keep an eye on the weather conditions and the road conditions as well. But right now, not really a ton going on in that area, but we do have you know, like I said, we do have a winter weather advisory that's in effect for us, for Chicago, the city itself up north. They're still under a winter storm warning until 3. So we'll just continue to keep an eye on that for you.
Okay.
As we were driving in, we were counting the houses and the windows that we still see Christmas trees in.
Lit Christmas trees in one block on the north side. In one block, there were 7 lit Christmas trees on Lakeshore Drive, and we were driving about 40 miles an hour. I'd go, oh, there's 3, oh, there's 4. I was literally counting as we're going down the drive, because it excites me. And you know what, we still have ours up. It's been so dreary that it really, really makes me feel good.
This past week it was nice to just look at the tree with its little top hat, and we don't have a star on the top of the tree, we have a top hat.
Yes.
It kind of works for us.
It's Frosty's top hat. Well, Dan is in here tonight. Hey, Dan.
Hey, good evening. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Dan, who is the keeper of the big plug, Dan Long, who has been manning Zamboni duties tonight for a while.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, man, that was a great piece of audio that you guys ran from WRHU. That dude was having a heart?
I thought he was going to have cardiac arrest.
Yeah, that's Chris King. He's the radio voice of the New York Islanders.
He needs to work up a little more excitement.
Wow! What happened? I mean, all I heard was off in the distance, there was a man yelling, and I grabbed my headphones. Was that a win or a loss? Was he upset or was he happy?
Yeah, it was a win. One of their top forwards, Matt Barzal, scored a goal. And they've been having kind of a rough season where they've been underachieving, so wins have been hard to come by, much like here in Chicago. And I guess when you have the chance to get excited when you're calling an underachieving team, you got to take it.
Yeah. Well, he was good. That will go down in history as one of those moments for sure. Well, what we like to do is a little round robin when we settle in here. The best thing that happened to you in this past week. So, Dan, we shall start with you. The best thing that's happened in Dan's week.
Talk about putting me on the spot.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll start. The best thing is I'm here tonight because... Yeah. It looks like I've got shingles behind me, and they weren't there. They were on my arm and my hand. So, wow, what a week. This time last week, I said to you...
Oh, you were not a happy camper.
This time last week, I literally said to you, am I imagining it, or am I actually moaning out loud? Because I could just hear this,
In fact, this was the week where you finally agreed with something that I have been saying for years. It feels better when you moan.
It does.
When you say something. When you say bleep, 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 bleep.
You have to say something.
Oh, yeah.
But the pain was, I'm not kidding you, the pain was so, and I've got a high pain tolerance. I'm not a crybaby. It was so off the charts that I was having an out of body thinking I was hearing someone else moaning because it was so constant. And you would say, that's okay. That's okay. You'll feel better. In my sleep, I was going, oh, because it was on my left hand and arm. So the shingles, I've never had anything like this in my life. I have been bitten by a fire ant. The best way I can describe this is my arm was in a sack of fire ants, and they were just all the time. They were just walking and burning, and then every now and then go, eek, eek. So you get these electrical shocks. Up and down your arm. Now, I know I've talked to people who have had shingles in their head, around their eyes. My dad had it on his torso, so the sheet, he couldn't stand the touch, the sheet on his body. I literally feel your pain now. I can say that.
And let me jump in here, and I want to address a couple things. And I'm going to ask the Texers to hold off the people who think we're anti-vaxxers. No, we are not anti-vaxxers. Two things, and I'm going to bring myself into this for a second. Mm-hmm. Up until about a week ago, neither of us had been vaccinated.
Right.
I had not been vaccinated because I have autoimmune hepatitis. My hepatologist for years had said, you don't want to get the shingles vaccine because you don't want to get that virus into your system. I had chicken pox when I was
child.
A kid.
Right.
Then I recently heard from the hepatologist. He said, don't get the regular shingles vaccine.
Get the new guy.
Get Shingrix.
Right.
Which I have, in fact, done.
Right.
Now, as far as Johnny not having had a vaccine up to that point, you didn't think there was any, and doctors had told you there was no reason for you to
have it. All my life, Dan, have you had chicken pox?
See, I never did. I never did have it as a kid, so I got the whatever that version of the chicken pox vaccine when I was like really young. I ended up getting
good.
It. Yeah.
Good. Because I never had chicken pox, and I'm an only child, and people say, well, you had to have. I said, wait a minute. As an only child, you'd think my mom and dad would know if I had. It's not like I got lost in a mess of kids. And they always told me, no, you never had chicken pox. You never had mumps. I told two different doctors in my life who asked me after I was 50 mm-hmm. years old, have you had the shingles shot? And I said, no, but I've never had chicken pox. And both doctors said to me, well, then you don't have anything to worry about. You won't get shingles. You can't get shingles if you haven't had chicken pox. Now, if I was like you, even though I'd never had them before, if I'd been vaccinated or if I'd had a test to find out if I'd had chicken pox, but we didn't know it, then I would have gotten the vaccine, of course. And certainly I will get it now after this is completely over with and out of my system and the doctor says you're cool to get the vaccine. But a lot of people jumped on immediately. Were you vaccinated? That's not the point. I was told I didn't have to be. Yeah. And now I know better than that. So I share this with you. If you've not been vaccinated, that's certainly something to think about. Now, would you get the shingles vaccine as you get older? They typically say 50 years old, you should.
Yeah. I mean, who knows where we're going to be?
Yeah, who knows? Because,
18 years down the road when I'm 50, so it may be a whole different thing. But if it were today, I would, if my doctor said get it, I would get it.
Yeah. But now the flip side of that is I was talking to Gabe and his wife. Gabe, was your wife in her 20s? I
think Gabe just walked out of the studio.
Because he was telling me that a good 10 plus years ago, and she's a teacher, she had it in her scalp, and she thought she had chicken pox. And in fact, they said, no, you didn't have chicken pox. You had full-blown shingles. And let me tell you, if the arm feels like your arm is in a bag of fire ants, I would imagine just touching your hair, if your hair hurts, can you... the pain is just mind-blowing. So that's the best thing that happened to me in this past week. I'm sitting here now saying, I'm not in pain, and I'm not on meds. But thank God for meds.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so there were about 5 days that were just delightful when I was just like, wow, what day is it? Oh, this is good. I'm okay. Shingles are not so bad.
We'll take a quick break and then come back and find out what the best thing was that happened to Dan and to Andrew and who knows who else. So stay with us. That is one of many reasons why we like Andrew B. as our producer, because he has a wide comfort zone. You went back for Sam Cooke. Yes, my man.
Yes, sir.
All right.
He said, picking a song is like picking my favorite child. He's like, what? I got to pick a song right now.
Yeah, I was racking my brain, and I realized I was in a very big Sam Cooke mood today. So.
That's a good place to be. All right, we're going back to Dan. Best thing happened to you this past week.
Okay, well, you talking about pain and visceral reactions to it, now it pales in comparison to having shingles on your arm. But I did. I took a little bit of a spill on Thursday night. It was my only night off this week. Went out for a couple of drinks, naturally, and it was icy out. So I slipped on some ice on the sidewalk. And what's your natural reaction is to break your fall with your hand.
Yep. Yeah.
So I had my right hand out, and it was a pretty decent tumble, but it could have been way worse. I could have,
snapped,
broken my wrist, which would have been no good, because I need my hand to work and live life. So that could have been
dressed,
way worse.
You tie your shoes.
Exactly.
Wow. Well,
okay, speaking of that kind of thing, years ago.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
Yeah, you know this story. I'm a big fan of the Chicago Auto Show, which is coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
This was roughly 1970, late 70s. Go to the auto show. Before I went to the auto show, went to get a burger. It was an icy step, slip on the step, fall, ow. Okay, all right. Go to the auto show, load up with all kinds of brochures.
Bags of brochures.
Walking out of the auto show, and all of a sudden my arm starts to feel funny. Long story short, I wound up in the emergency room. They said, you shouldn't have gone to the auto show. You have now broken your elbow.
Ugh.
I wound up in a cast.
He was carrying shopping bags of brochures.
Because my mind was focused on auto show brochures. Yeah, I got to do that. Yeah, so my adrenaline carried me through the auto show until, oops, no, not such a good idea.
Yeah.
It's adrenaline is a powerful thing.
It is. Okay, Andrew, best thing that happened to you this past week?
My week's been pretty uneventful, but after hearing all those very painful, very vivid stories, I think my best week is right now, realizing that none of that has happened to me as of yet. Knock on wood.
That's good. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
When you can say you go through the week unscathed, that's a good week. And you had some downtime too, so that was good.
Yeah, it was a good day. It was a good time to relax a little bit, regroup.
You know, it's odd. You're talking about falling, and your natural instinct is to put your hands down.
Right.
The last time this sounds like this is my merry medical half hour. I had my hands full when I took a tumble, and I broke the fall with my face.
Oh, that's probably worse.
Oh, when I stood up and my eyes were black within a couple of hours because my glasses shattered on my face.
Ugh.
But I never let that laundry out of my hands as I was falling. If only I dropped it and broke my fall. Couple of days after my eyes, I mean, I've got two big black eyes.
And was that the time I'm thinking of?
Yes.
There was an incident on
our street.
We go outside. There are some police officers on our street. And one of the first things I said to the police officers, I said, I really didn't beat her.
because they were looking at me.
Yeah, suddenly, okay, what's going on?
Yeah,
here?
Exactly.
The issue that brought them to our block paled compared to this poor woman with the two black eyes. And of course, I don't know why they're staring at me. And Steve goes, hey, you need to know, she fell.
Yeah.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, sadly, you're probably right. But I keep thinking about not dropping the laundry. And, you know, like, you dummy, you break a fall with your face.
Again, you had your priorities.
That's right.
Mine was auto show brochures, yours was laundry. We have different priorities.
And Dan, on the other hand, was probably a little numb on certain body parts. So, you know.
By the way, I have to thank all of you guys for what you did last week when we were not here. We were home listening, and we had no idea what you were going to be running. And suddenly we hear the interview that we did with Stan Lee years ago. So thank you to whoever was responsible for pulling up the stuff that was aired last week. That was kind of fun to hear that stuff.
It was very sweet. I mean, between my moaning, it was a very sweet sound.
I think that was producer Ben Anderson.
Oh, Ben.
Was that Ben?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's an old soul, too.
Yeah.
And he's a hardworking dude, too. Well, coming up tonight, now you're here till what time, Dan?
I'm here till 4.
Okay. Well, have another cookie and coast for the next few hours.
Johnny made some chocolate chip cookies.
I did. Yes. I figured I've got a reputation. I've got to uphold my somebody said to me, I don't even remember who said it to me last time, didn't you used to cook all the time when you had shows? And I was, and then I realized, wait a minute, maybe that was a hint. You used to cook all the time. Why aren't you doing it now? So I will change my ways starting this week.
We should mention, coming up a little later, one of the many reasons we came back to doing this is one of the things we missed was introducing you to people you may not have heard who are real talents. And
a lot of them are right here in Chicago, too.
And after 1 o'clock, we're going to introduce you to one of those talents.
Yeah.
She is an extraordinary lady who is doing an Olivia Newton-John tribute, Annie Aiello.
Yep.
And she'll be joining us after the 1 o'clock news. We should mention, too, that we've got a bunch of things in the works. Some of them are going to happen starting 2 weeks from now.
Next week we have a full show.
Yeah, next week we have a full show. But then the week after that, we're going to be out of town. But we're taking you on the road with us. We're going to be heading down to Panama City Beach, Florida. And the powers that be said, sure, take the kids with you. So we're going to introduce you to some of our friends in Panama City Beach. One of them is a New York Times best-selling author. Another one is the man who was the road manager for David Crosby. And the Rolling Stones.
And Joan Baez and Jackson Brown. And he's got some great stories to tell.
So we've got some real interesting people we're going to be introducing you to over the next
several
weeks.
Make you a promise. If there's a snowstorm here, we will not talk about the lovely weather in Florida because it's been unbearably cold there. In fact, we've been told that when we get to Florida, we have a couple of broken water pipes on our sprinkler system because the ground has frozen.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're just not used to that. We found out, I don't know if we told you this or not, we never knew in all the years we've been going back and forth to Florida, there are people on our block in Florida who don't have a furnace.
Now, is that
they're
crazy?
Just not used to it.
And this year they ran out, and our neighbor ran out to Lowe's and bought one of those little fireplaces, electric fireplaces. She said it may not really warm us up, but the dog can lie in front of it, and psychologically when we're sitting in front of it, we feel warmer because it was down in the 20s.
But that's one of those things, I never ever thought about that. And my dad, who originally bought the house that we have in Florida, when he moved in, he had a
wall heater.
A wall heater and then eventually a furnace. But I'm just amazed that
I know.
People live in climates and don't even have furnaces.
Well, a listener texts and says, I've got the fireplace going and the whiskey drink poured, and I'm listening to Steve and Johnny. Sounds good
okay.
to me. You know?
Yeah.
Could we get a fireplace in here, Dan? Could we get one of those Lowe's plug-in fireplaces?
You know, I'll look into it. I'll
All
see.
All right, good.
We might be able to expense that.
Okay. Thank
I like
you, Dan.
That. Well, we've got a lot of things coming up tonight. We hope you will stay with us. You can text us at 312-981-7200. And we've got...
we got the last call coming up next hour, too.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. And we got unfinished business, and we are probably going to get a little BS in. And we're going to find out, when do you stop saying Happy New Year? Because I said to you, I encountered somebody, in fact, two instances where people said, oh, Happy New Year. And I thought, well, that's nice. And then I went, at what point do we stop saying that? Is it Valentine's Day or Groundhog Day or...
And I wonder how many of you can remember where you were and what you were doing. Obviously, this depends on how old you are. 67 years ago tonight.
Oh, not 1967, which was also a momentous weekend, but
67 years ago tonight.
Yes.
I know exactly where I was and what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Should I share the story or
no? Save it.
Okay. So, and it's one of those things that it just came up on the calendar, and I said, "Yep,
you were there.
I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I know it.
Mm-hmm.
Been there, done that." And it was a significant moment in my life and in your life too. In everybody who's listening, it was a significant moment.
Oh, now you got me thinking. Yeah. So I was there then.
No, you weren't there then.
Okay.
But it's just, it was a significant moment, and it impacted tons of things.
Is that in my notes someplace here? Yeah, we got a lot coming up in the next hour. We hope that you will stay with us.
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. And no, that is not Olivia Newton-John.
Aha. Uh-huh. I know. Because I got goosebumps when I'm listening to that with my headphones
Sounds
on.
So good.
So good. That is actually the woman we want to introduce you to tonight. I'm so excited because she's so dang good, and you all should know. And we hope that you will get to know Annie Aiello.
Annie. Hey, Annie, how are you?
Hi, everybody. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. It's nice to be all cozy at home and just to be able to chat with your friends. And as I said, I'm so excited to let everybody know that they're going to get to see you performing as Olivia Newton-John. Can we start do a little bit of background? You've been a singer sure. in the Chicago area for a few years, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think I'm aging myself, but definitely, you know, 20-plus years I've been singing around town, so it's been a wonderful ride for sure.
And it was early last year that you decided, since you do Olivia Newton-John music in your show, that you know what, maybe you know I could do some more Olivia Newton-John, correct?
Actually, so close to that. I mean, I was at a concert that Olivia was performing live back in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And she was at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan.
Right.
And that was shortly after she had announced that she had her third bout of cancer. And I just remember thinking to myself when I was at that show that someday I'd love to tribute her music. And, you know, I've been a fan of hers all my life. Her music was the soundtrack to my life.
But
I've been singing her stuff since I've been seven. So,
and this goes back to I believe your mom and dad bought you your first Olivia Newton-John album. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it was one of those big vinyl LPs. If anybody's listening out there that doesn't know what that is, for sure,
it's big.
I'm a product of the '70s all the way. And in fact, if you recall those wide. Sort of mid-level furniture pieces that have the top that lifts up.
Yes.
You know, that's what I played these albums on.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
My father came home with Have You Never Been Mellow, and that was the start of it. For sure.
And I'm back to your show, though, your plans to do the show. This was really long before she had passed away. She passed away in August of last year. So this was in the works in your head that you wanted to do a tribute music to her. And you'd been told, hey, woman, you sound a lot like Olivia Newton-John. I mean, it's a little freaky. I mean, you're so good. And again, you know, I've listened to it over and over again. But with my headphones on tonight, I said to Steve, look, I've got goosebumps. This is so cool.
During COVID, you know, many of the musicians, many of my, literally, they're world-class musicians. And so the guys that are, the gentlemen that are part of my band, I mean, they're wonderful. And in 2020, you know, many of them were unemployed or not working very much at all. Yeah. And so 2020 provided us the opportunity to really just get started on creating and developing the show. And so it wasn't until really May of 2022 that we officially launched it. And we started with videos. We started with YouTube videos and it kind of went from there. And that's how the show got developed. And of course, you know, unfortunately, Olivia passed in August of 2022. And I think that just sort of piqued the interest of a lot of theaters in the area and people that really wanted to hear her music live. And, you know, clearly it was just something that people, it's nostalgic music. You know, people are brought back to that. And I think music does that by nature. It brings us back to moments in time. And I think Olivia has just done that so successfully throughout all of her career. I mean, her career has spanned, you know, 5 decades. And so it's an honor to come and you know, the show presents at least 4 decades of her music. Hmm. We don't touch much of the 60s, but we go from the 70s through the, you know, 2000s and beyond. And so it's really a lot of fun. It's a fantastic show, and we're thrilled to do it. We've got her country stuff. We've got her Grease stuff. We've got physical. We've got ballads. So we really try to cover the gamut.
And I want to back up a little bit and do it as we were talking with you off the air. There's a kind of a 6 degrees of a bunch of people that we're all associated with. And one of our mutual friends is Lisa McClowry. And a lot of our listeners know that Lisa has, for the past many years, been doing a Cher tribute. And she has been, matter of fact, recently over in Australia.
She's in Australia now. Yeah. Yeah. And again, scary
she
good.
She might be listening right now. I actually spoke with her today. She says hello to everybody, by the way. And Lisa has been a gift and truly just, she's a phenomenal artist. She's been a coach and a mentor to me in this year that we've been developing this show. You know, as I said, I've been a singer around town, but I've never officially done a tribute to anybody. And I know of many of the same friends that Lisa has, and I knew of her. I just had never met her. And I think the Chicago music scene tends to be smaller than any other large city that I know. Mm-hmm. And Lisa and I connected at one of her concerts this summer. And she is Cher. When you see her on the stage, she becomes Cher. She's phenomenal. She studies. She does her voice, her costumes, the moves. It's just fantastic. And so she's coached me through this journey of developing this Olivia show. And I'm so grateful for her coaching, because I think that's what makes our show unique, is it's truly, you know, we really try to honor Olivia's style and her music, and we do it as Olivia sang it and as you hear, as the musicians played it.
And speaking of musicians, the little piece of magic that our listeners heard, you were not singing to a track. We have some musicians in this area that are in fact world class, and you will be performing with them when you're doing your two shows. One of your shows will be at the gorgeous Des Plaines Theater, and then you're going to be doing your show at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles. And we're going to give everybody all the details on that, because they're coming up on February 10th and 11th. And you will have a band with you. And these people are fabulous.
And some of our friends are in your band, Tom Linsk.
Tom Linsk, yes.
Yeah. Tom is fantastic. He does, I mean, he's all over Chicago, and he does a fantastic Billy Joel tribute called Mulberry Street. But just to brag on the band a little bit, I mean, some of these guys have played with Oprah, American Idol, Jersey Boys, Frankie Avalon, Mannheim Steamrollers. I mean, you name it. Mm-hmm. These guys are out there doing that, you know, most weekends and most days of the week throughout the year. And I'm just honored to have them be on the show, and they just really will bring an exceptional show, just even just musically, you know, it's fantastic. So grateful for that.
And not only are they mega talents, but you're talking about a bunch of really nice guys too. Really sweet people. We're talking with Annie.
Yeah, there's no drama, honestly.
I believe you. Yeah.
And that's always a good thing.
We're talking with Annie Aiello, and she does this amazing show called Always Olivia, an Olivia Newton-John tribute. And it's going to be coming on February 10th to the Desplaines Theater. And I'm hearing wonderful things about the acoustics and the sight lines and the renovated Desplaines Theater. And thanks to Ron Onesti for doing that. And then the next night, she's going to be doing her show at the Arcata Theater.
And we've been
to
the Arcata, and it's one of our favorite places.
It's terrific.
Wonderful. And again, Ron Onesti has done a wonderful job of refurbishing and respecting the theaters.
Yes. So we're going to come back with Annie Aiello in just a moment here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with Annie Aiello, who is doing this incredible Always Olivia tribute show. And I want to emphasize, go back to something that Johnny said a little while ago. What you were listening to, that's not Annie singing over tracks. That's Annie and her band live. That is what you are going to be hearing and seeing when you go to the show.
Yes.
This is, Annie, you should be very, very proud of what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And considering you're doing these different decades, we're talking different outfits, aren't we? Different costumes.
Absolutely.
And I know you hate to have to get more clothes.
We do five costume changes. We're going to be doing five costume changes in this next upcoming show. So that's going to be interesting. And I've got about 90 seconds between each change. I had to go out to Vegas and learn from Lisa, the expert, on how to do that. So
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you. That's a part of the presentation that people don't see. But that is a very important part of, you're off stage for 90 seconds and the band is doing something in those 90 seconds and you have to really get from long hair to short hair, from leather to whatever. And
to exercise clothes, to your country outfit. That's pretty cool. And then then you have to come out and not be breathless when you've got the microphone in your hand, right?
Absolutely. So I got to stay in shape in every way. So,
and we should also mention that as a teaser, folks can see you on WGN TV on Wednesday, February 1st. And that's going to be on the midday news, right, Annie?
Correct. Yeah, around 11:45 in the morning on Wednesday next week. We'll be doing a song, one ballad and probably a song from Greece, but you got to watch it to find out.
Well, not only do you have to watch it, but I'm going to, because we have some very loyal listeners, I'm going to ask that all of our listeners, along with watching, that they pray for good weather, because I believe you're going to be outside on the stage, outside on Channel 9.
Well, that's news to me, but I'll bring my coat if that's the case.
Never mind.
I'm outside. That's good to know.
Because we were looking at one of the memos from.
I have one question, Steve. Is that a full schmiggiggy of snow, or will that be a half schmiggiggy?
Actually,
this is a three-quarter schmiggiggy.
And snow is not your concern on Wednesday. The wind chill is supposed to be below zero. So, I think.
I hope I'm wrong, but we were looking at the memo from Channel 9, and I hope you're in the studio. Please tell them.
Please!
In the name of Allah Toli, put this woman in the studio.
Please. We've got no clout, but I have no problem with sending a message over and saying, please. Please, have you ever tried to sing in zero temperatures, people? Really?
I have to say my vibrato will be quite fast. That's all I have to say.
And you know what? Your leather may be a little crunchy, too, if you're out there. Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to read a text. Comes from Lisa's mom, Mary Ellen.
Yeah.
Bless her. She texts and says,
phenomenal.
We stayed up past our bedtime to welcome you both back, and we're so happy to hear that Annie is your guest tonight. She's not only a very talented musical artist, but she's a wonderful woman with a heart of gold. Her star is rising.
Yes.
And folks, you heard it here. Her star is rising. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah.
And let me jump.
Mary's a phenomenal lady.
Yes, she is.
And speaking of people that are fans of yours, I want to jump to another phone call. And Rich, you wanted to say hi to Annie?
Hi, Annie. This is Rich Wade.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
I'm good. Johnny. I moved away from Vegas.
Oh, you see, Annie, I was going to ask you, are you familiar with the Wade twins and their love of... yeah, they're part
Rich,
of the circle.
He came and helped me on my very first show.
Oh,
and,
really?
He was just phenomenal. He came and showed up at our rehearsal, and we're just so grateful for that family and for those guys. And absolutely, they helped us do the promo video. They're wonderful guys. So I'm very... Lisa introduced me to them, and yes, of course, I'm familiar with them.
And Rich, so, were you blown...
Glad you're here.
Were you blown away the first time you heard her sing Olivia Newton-John's music?
Yes, I had the goosebumps too.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And I love the fact, again, a text just came in wanting to know, does she actually do the different eras of Olivia Newton-John? And you said yes, like four different eras. Olivia had over 100 million records worldwide. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of music for you to choose from. That had to be hard too.
You know, it was a super fun process because...
Johnny.
Yeah, I mean,
Hold on, Rich. Go ahead, Annie.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say it was a fun process because, you know, honestly, growing up with her music since I was seven, you know, I know so many of her songs. And, you know, honestly, her greatest hits album is a great first stop to check out. And so we pulled a lot from that. And, you know, then we added some from the early 70s, a lot of her country stuff. We do a country medley, which is exactly how Olivia did it on stage live. And then we do some of the added songs from the 2000s, like from her Gaia and Grace and Gratitude album, which are newer songs that she's sung over the years. So,
well, Rich, thank you for tuning in tonight. Nice to hear from you, too.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I'll text you later.
Okay.
Thanks, Rich.
And let us not forget, too, that you have decided that you, like Olivia, you want to continue to support the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Wellness and Research Center. So how is that going to work with your shows?
Yeah, so first of all, you know, I lost my dad passed away due to cancer. I had an aunt and brother-in-law who had glioblastomas, which Olivia's sister, Rona, passed away from. And, you know, I think cancer hits all of us in some way, shape, or form in our families or, you know, extended families. And so it's something that, you know, I think all of us at some point can relate to. And so I went ahead and I formed a website on Olivia Newton-John's Cancer Wellness and Research Center platform. And so if you go to my website at alwaysoliviatribute.com and press the donate link at the very top of my website, you'll be taken immediately to that link. And so anybody who comes to my show and you want to donate to Olivia Newton-John's Cancer and Wellness Center, you'll just see that it's under my name of my show and Annie Aiello. And so any amount of funds that we raise through the concert, her center will see. And so, you know, my goal is to be the top fundraiser out there and to really rid our world of cancer, you know, as best as we can and as soon as we can. Because we've lost a beautiful woman in Olivia Newton-John. She was gone too soon. And I know many of us feel that way. And I felt like, you know, I wish I knew her as a human being. I wish I knew her as a person. I didn't get to know her, but I know that many of us have loved ones that, you know, were gone too soon. And So I'm going to do whatever I can to help raise funds for that.
Annie, I'm going to ask you if you can you hang with us for a couple minutes? We got a break for
news.
Can you stay with us? Okay. More with Annie Aiello coming up. Stay with us at WGN. We're talking with Annie Aiello, who will be presenting the incredible Always Olivia tribute to Olivia Newton-John on February 10th at the Desplaines Theater and on February 11th at the Arcata Theater. And I know that was not an Olivia Newton-John song we just played. That was one of Annie's original songs. And Annie, I wanted to play that in part because this is something you did several years ago. And yet I hear in your voice, there is such, even at that point in your career, there was such a similarity to Olivia Newton-John. I mean, that's the kind of song when I first heard it, my immediate thought was, I could have heard Olivia Newton-John doing that kind of a song, doing that specific song. So,
and we love that song, too. That's why we wanted to play it.
So, well, good. I'm so glad you like it.
Was she always a strong influence on your career? Because that's what I'm sensing.
She's my greatest vocal influence for sure, hands down. I mean, I honestly grew up listening to her music starting at the age of 7 to the point where, you know, I knew every lick, I knew every up and down and her vocal approach. I studied her music since I've been a child, and I think it just has come out in my voice. And yes, you're right. That is my song, and that's my lyrics and my writing, and working with Chris Cernell, who's a Grammy nominated producer. Absolutely, her voice is within me, and I think her spirit is there. You know, I've admired her as a woman, as a woman who does many wonderful things for people, for folks that are sick and for animals. And, you know, she's just a lovely human being, and has used music as a way to really reach people. And I've done the same, interestingly enough. You know, I've used music as a way to help heal and to bring, you know, light and goodness to people and fun. And, you know, I think that's what our shows are going to be about, is that we really want to bring joy to people, and I think that's what music does. And it also just transcends us back to those moments. And so, yes, I mean, ever since I've been a little girl, I will go back to those songs that have influenced me and pull it out into what I sing today.
Hmm. Well, speaking of you as a little girl, are you a local girl, born and raised in this area?
I am. I grew up in Arlington Heights, Illinois, and so, you know, I'm definitely local. I live out in the far northwest suburbs, so we're getting a lot of schmiggiggy snow right now. But yes, I've been local all my life and been a Chicago girl, and so very grateful to be part of this city and this town, and I think it has some of the best musicians and music around, and so I'm super grateful to have this opportunity, and thanks to the Onesti family for letting me be part of their theaters and you know, bring this music locally. Yeah. So,
and how lucky,
you know, it's a new show, and look for the support.
We're so lucky to have these theaters too, and to have Ron, who has this vision to give us, who want to see our music, our people, back on stage again. Mm-hmm. And maybe these people don't want to perform or try to fill a massive venue. They can have this intimate setting with diehard fans. And that's the really cool thing about the approach that he has to his booking at the Arcata and now at the Desplaines Theater. Absolutely. You're a perfect fit for that. And our hats off to Ron for what he's doing.
Was there a point?
Well, I understand he's a Sicilian Italian, too, so I'm told he's pretty good at cooking.
Yes, this is true.
Well, was there a point in your life when you realized not only did you like doing this, but this was going to be your career. This was where you were going to go with your life. Was there a point when you realized, this is going to happen?
You know, that's an interesting question because, you know, I'm the youngest of 6 kids, as I just said, in a big Italian family. And my family was very much about education, that was always a priority. And so I went on and got an MBA in business. And I ended up you know, I was always singing. I was always in musical theater and doing my local, you know, I was jobbing with many local bands that do weddings and corporate gigs and jingles. And I've gotten to sing with, you know, I had an opportunity to sing with Richard Marx and just do some really, really amazing things. But it was always it was always a second career for me. It was never one single career. And so I finally, I think in my 20s, you know, really started putting more effort in. I actually never knew or learned how to play an instrument, and I never learned how to read music very well. I actually I learned by ear, and it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I got vocal direction from a dear friend of mine and taught me how to sing harmonies and taught me how to do a lot of things that have now really propelled my career musically. And you know, yes, to answer your question, it wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I really started taking music way more seriously.
Can I give you the best quote I ever heard about not being able to read music? You know the name Chet Atkins?
Yes.
This came from Chet Atkins at a time in Nashville where the Nashville Sound was so big, and everybody was appreciating Chet, and he had done the album with Les Paul and everything else. And somebody asked him, "Chet, do you know how to read music?" And he paused for a second and he said, "Yeah, but not so much that it hurts my playing."
Right.
Exactly. I love that.
And you know what? There's a lesson to be learned from your story, too. Don't let people hold you back if you say, well, you're in your bedroom, you're singing into your hairbrush, and you say, but I don't know how to read music, or I don't play the piano, or I'm not a guitarist. That doesn't mean anything.
No.
I mean, you're a great example of that. Just go for it. And I'm sure you felt at some point in your life, maybe I need to go to L.A., or maybe I need to go to New York. But, you know, thank goodness you stayed here like so many really talented people. You know, we're going to start doing a regular feature once a month on our show called the Chicago Showcase, because there's so much talent right here that people need to know about.
And we're going to invite you right now, whenever it works out, let's get you in the studio with us.
I love that.
And we'll just hang out and see what happens.
I may cry.
Let's do it.
They'll be happy tears.
No,
so don't be scared if I start crying. Okay.
that'd be great. I'd be honored to come back, and thanks so much for having me on, and thanks for plugging the show, and
Annie,
you know, just really yes. Hopefully we don't have a major storm. So
no,
you're be good.
Your
show. We're going to try to cut down on the schmigiggies.
I just sent you a text. When you hang up from us, I want you to look at your message from me, where I show you the plans for you to be outside on Wednesday at 11:45.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
I will definitely get a very large down jacket for that.
It's so we'll television, people. I'm just like, what are they thinking over there? Stick with radio. We'll be good to you. I promise you.
It'll be a bad hair day, everybody. It'll be a bad hair day if that's the case.
Well, Annie
brings a whole new perspective to watch Annie get down.
Oh, watch Annie get physical. Boy, is she going to be physical to stay warm out there. The shows are going to be, I predict they're going to be huge. You're going to love it. The Des Plaines Theater, Friday, February 10th at 7 o'clock. Tickets are $29. That's on Minor Street in Des Plaines. If you haven't been there, I'm hearing nothing but good things about the theater. And then, of course, Annie's going to be the next night at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles on Main Street, right on Main Street. And you all can get details on the shows at Annie's website. And you can go and purchase your tickets at oshows.com. oshows.com. And always Olivia and Olivia Newton-John tribute show. Annie, congratulations. I think...
Hey, guys, thank you so much.
It's been a genuine pleasure to talk with you, Annie.
Mary Ellen said it right. Your star is rising, girl. And we're just so happy that we can just talk to you tonight, and we hope that this is the beginning of many other conversations.
Thanks so much, you guys, for having me on. Have a safe trip home.
Thank you. Good night.
Take care.
Just before we break, we're going to get ready for our last call. Now, the way this works, and boy, this show has got...
I know.
You'd think, I mean, for a five-hour... Oh, wait, it was only an hour and a half show. Okay.
Next week is 5 hours.
If you want to give us a call, 312-981-7200.
Right.
And
our last call is the last caller of the night. Now, to be fair, what we will do, like we did the last time, a number of people will call in, and then Andrew will tell and give us a number, 1 to 4, 1 to 10, whatever. We'll choose a number, and that person will be our last caller of the night. And we'll just chat with you and wrap up the show, and we got some goodies for you. So,
and find out how many schmagigis of snow you had. Well, I'm just saying. So 312-981-7200 if you want to win some goodies and be our last caller.
Yeah, it's that time. And,
we're flicking the lights, getting ready for a last call. Yep, that's how it works. Yep. Okay, Andrew B. tells me we got a bunch of people on the line, so we decided after the first week to make it fair. We would choose, and he's given us a number, and from number 1 to 8, and I'm holding up my hand for Steve. And I'm giving you a number 5. We're going to go with number 5.
And number 5 is Lori. Lori, you are our last call. How are you doing?
Hey, Lori.
Hey, Steve and Johnny. I haven't talked to you in forever and a day.
Well, forever was okay, but the day.
Oh, my gosh.
That put the strain on it.
So,
and Johnny, no more shingles for you.
No more. No more shingles for me. No. And I pardon me for just a minute. We'll get right back to you. I want to say for the folks who texted and said, oh, I've had that before. I now feel your pain. As I said earlier, I feel your pain. And if your family did not understand you, you need a new family because it's so bad.
Right.
Have you been down that road, Lori? Have you had shingles?
Thank God, no.
Oh, good. Good for you.
We got so lucky.
Tony, I told you that Tony was 64 the last time I talked to you on the radio, and he had the shingles on his chest.
Yes.
And he was one of these guys who wouldn't go to the doctor if his life depended on it. But he ended up going to the doctor because the pain was horrible.
Well, one of the things that we got very lucky because we were able to get in to see a doctor, our regular doctor, and she just had a hole in her schedule. We got in to see her, and Johnny got the right medication right away. And from everything we're hearing now, tells us that it makes so much difference if you get that medication right away to nip it in the bud before it gets...
Doesn't make it go away. Yeah. It just makes it go away a little quicker or maybe a little less painful.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Because we were in there. I went with him. And so I said, open your shirt.
Yeah.
And the doctor says, take off your shirt. So he takes off his shirt right away.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor looks at him. He gives him this topical medication.
Mm-hmm.
And usually he doesn't believe in all kinds of meds. But in this case, oh, yeah.
You say, give it to me.
Lonnie James had internal shingles last year or the year before, whatever.
Oh, dear.
Ooh.
Lori, it's funny you should say that. Well, not funny, but... Johnny said basically the same thing that you said, where some people say, oh, the medication, you know, yes or no. She said, oh, boy, did this specific medication make a huge, huge difference.
And I was just reading, too. This has become quite an education when you've got nothing to do but lie there and say, at least I'm not in pain, that one out of every three people over the age of 50 will experience this. One out of every three. Which, if you haven't...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's pretty incredible.
Oh, and let me throw in something else here. Because when Johnny went in to see the doctor, that was when I got my shingles shot. And some people have said, you will have a reaction to shingles. To the shingles shot. Other than initially a little bit of a small ache in my arm where they gave me the shot. Other than that, I've had no reaction.
Yeah.
Did you have anything topical, Steve?
No.
Really?
Yeah. And
good.
I think it was Mary Vanderbilt here at the radio station had talked openly about the fact that she had to take a day off when she had it because she just felt lousy. She felt like she had the flu. But you know what? We all lived through that with the COVID vaccines because some people said, well, I didn't feel anything. And some people said, oh, I felt lousy.
And the bottom line is everybody's different.
Yeah. Let me change Let me change the subject on you, Lori. Where you live, did you get a whole lot of snow over the past few days?
Yes. Well, and I haven't been outside. I don't run errands except once a week to Walgreens from Wilson and Western to Lawrence and Western. You know that six-way corner there.
Yeah.
And I got tired of asking for guidance across the street up there because it's a six-way corner. So I have Tony's nephew-in-law who lives in Ann Arbor on Coonley Court. I don't know how well you guys know Ann Arbor.
No.
But that's where they are. So anyway, I call and ask him to get me an Uber because I don't have a computer at all.
Yeah.
And so I go up to Walgreens, but other than that, and the snow is usually shoveled. The sidewalks aren't real full or anything, so that's not that bad.
Well, stay home. I'm glad we were here for you tonight. I'm glad you are our last caller, and now I'm glad you're going to be wearing a retro WGN radio t-shirt.
These are so cool.
And you're going to get your own desktop weather station from American Weathermakers Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, the 60-Minute Men. And visit AmericanWeathermakers.com to get more info if you'd like your own desktop weather station. But Lori's getting one, and if you're our last call, maybe you'll get one in the future. Thanks, Lori. Nice talking to you.
Thanks a lot, Lori.
Oh, and I have some news for you.
What's that?
In Burbank, California, on February 25th, there will be a banquet luncheon with Pat Boone.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's right. In fact, I follow Pat.
Pat Boone, yeah.
And you know what? We should get Pat on the show.
That's a good idea.
Because it has been so long since we've had Pat. The last time, Lori, I hadn't thought about this forever. The last time we talked to Pat Boone was when he came out with his heavy metal album.
Yes, that's right. And he was wearing leather.
Yes.
And he insisted that it was not a joke, that this is legitimately the music he wanted to sing, which makes me think of Dolly Parton. And, you know, she's doing a song with Slipknot. And Metallica, this is going to be crazy.
Actually, this is taking me back to something I mentioned earlier. One of the other times that I had talked with Pat Boone was the night that Elvis Presley died.
Right.
I was over at the Once Big 89, and we broke format, and I had Pat on, and he shared because he and Elvis both came up at the same time from Memphis and had a lot of similarities, even though their music was significantly different. But that takes me back to, see, this is all, you think we don't plan this show? We have a script that is so carefully put together. I mentioned earlier that there was something I knew exactly what I was doing 67 years ago tonight. And it was a Saturday night. And I was watching a 9-inch television set with my mom. Saturday night, we tuned into the summer replacement, or actually it was the winter replacement show for the Jackie Gleason show. It was called Stage Show with Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey. And at the beginning of the show, they were running down the list of the people that were going to be on the show, and the Roger Williams, who was very big with Autumn Leaves at that time, he was going to be on the show. And they mentioned some other people, and they mentioned this crazy name, and we thought, this guy's got to be a comedian, because with a name like Elvis Presley, he's got to be a comedian. And after we watched the show, we realized, no, he was not a comedian. And
even
that
on
was
a 9-inch screen, you could see that.
And a lot of people think that Elvis's first TV thing was with Ed Sullivan. No. This was in January 1956. His first network television show was out of the New York CBS studios for Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey's Stage Show. And he came on and he did Shake, Rattle, and Roll. And boy, did he ever. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow.
So that's why I know.
And you're right. And that affected me, too, because, you know, anybody who grew up listening to his music, you were changed when you saw
absolutely.
Him. And whether it was on a 9-inch screen or on stage or in the movies, because that's where I came to love him, in the movies, and all those cheesy movies.
Well, speaking of music, we should mention that next week we have a full show.
We do.
What time does our show start next week? I guess it's 9 o'clock,
I
believe.
Do we start at 9 o'clock next week?
Yeah,
it might be a full show.
I think it is. It's a full schmagiggy next week.
Mm-hmm.
And among the things we have going on next week, we're going to be talking with the authors of a book about Fleetwood Mac in Chicago, when Fleetwood Mac, the original Fleetwood Mac, recorded over at the Chess Studios at 2120 South Michigan. Also, we are going to have an in-studio performance from one of our favorite groups, the Empty Pockets.
Yes, coming back from a cruise that they're on right now. It's a music cruise. In fact, Justin Hayward was on earlier with Dave Plyer, and Justin Hayward's on that very same cruise with them. So they have some stories to tell. They've got some new music, some new concerts coming up, and we just love them to death. So
that's coming up next week. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us on a cold winter night.